Her talk's actually entitled Chlamydia Screening Coverage and Chlamydia Positivity in Family Planning and Reproductive Health Clinics, and Does It Matter Which Female Patients We Screen? So, thanks very much.
So, thank you. So I want to first acknowledge my co-authors, David Fine, who you just heard from, and Wendy Nakatsukasa Ono. So in contrast to the last presentation, I want to clarify that this research uses the Infertility Prevention Project data set, so it's actually a different data set than what David was looking at. The Infertility Prevention Project funded chlamydia screening for low-income women in family planning, STD, and other women's health programs. And data were compiled regionally and sent to CDC to use to report positivity in a screened population. So we've used this in contrast to case rates and morbidity reporting to try to get a little better sense of our denominators and who we're actually screening. And Infertility Prevention Project, or IPP, identified two key indicators that are really important for monitoring program performance as well as infection trends. So those measures are, first of all, screening coverage, which David talked about. So the percentage of women, we usually look at the age range 15 to 25 that were tested within the year for chlamydia. And as David said, that tends to be somewhere in the 50% range, varies a little bit by clinic type. Varies a lot by individual clinic and varies somewhat by different types of clinics. And positivity is the other measure, and that's the percentage of tests that were positive, so sort of similar to prevalence but with a test-based denominator. And positivity also varies. It's about 9% nationally and about 7% in the Northwest where we come from. And that varies significantly by geography and clinic type, as well as individual and community level factors. So we talk a lot about screening coverage as it relates to program and quality improvement, and we found, as David showed you, that screening coverage is suboptimal. It's much less than the 100% that we're aiming for. But we also use positivity data a lot for research purposes, as well as for funding allocation purposes. So the question we asked is, was low screening coverage affecting our research results? Is it affecting the positivity estimates that we're coming up with? So just to give a quick overview of sort of the theory behind this, screening coverage, if we had six women come into the clinic, two of whom are positive, indicated in blue, and four of whom are negative, if our screening coverage was 100%, we would accurately measure our positivity at 33%. But if our screening coverage is 50% and we pick three of these women, we might inaccurately double that positivity measure. We might come up with 66%. Furthermore, depending on which 50% we screen, we could come up with widely different measures of positivity. And lastly, we know that screening is not random. Screening varies by whether a woman's having a pap smear. It varies by what insurance type she has. It varies by what clinic type she goes to. It varies by what health plan she belongs to, and it varies by what state she lives in. So that's why we thought that this was an important question to look at. So to try to begin to get at this question using the data that we had available, we came up with three questions. First, what's the variation across clinics with respect to how positivity, screening coverage, demographics, chlamydia risk factors, and service characteristics are distributed in those clinics? Secondly, is positivity associated with clinic screening coverage? And thirdly, are clinic screening coverage and positivity associated with distribution of any of these other factors? So we started with all of the IPP test records in our region and narrowed it down. It was a lot of tests, but we narrowed it down to the clinic level because positivity and screening coverage are clinic level measures. And we computed summary characteristics for a bunch of different demographic and risk and service factors, which I'll show you in a minute. From there, we merged in the clinic level screening coverage, so that's the data that David was showing you, and selected 58 clinics that had consistent numbers of tests between IPP and the CVR data that David was showing you. From there, we looked at the distribution of factors across clinics, so the mean and the interquartile range for each clinic, and then looked at some scatter plots and correlations to try to get at associations between all the different factors we wanted to look at. So this is a a busy slide, I know. But basically what you're looking at here is the height of the bar that you're looking at shows the extent of variation in each of the measures we looked at. So on the left, we're looking, the first bar is screening coverage. What this is showing you is that screening coverage varied from about 32% all the way up to 90%. Positivity also varied quite a lot within our clinics. The scale here is large, and so it doesn't look as much look as much variation here. But positivity varied from 0 to 11% among these 58 clinics. Demographic characteristics also varied somewhat. You can see the percentage of the clinic population that was age 15 to 19 varied from about 12% all the way up to about 70%. Racial demographic makeup did not vary as much. And then the blue ones on the left, right, I'm not sure which side that is, varied substantially. So as you can see, the percentage of patients that were screened who had behavioral risk factors varied from about 20% all the way up to 100%. The percentage of patients tested who did not have a physical exam done varied from about 0 to 90%. The percentage that were there for a routine visit and got tested varied from about 20% to 100%. And the percentage that of tests that were done by a self-collected specimen, so a urine specimen or a vaginal swab, varied from about 0% to 100%. So a lot of variation there from clinic to clinic. The next step was to look at the correlations between these different factors. What this is showing you is that there was absolutely no correlation between screening coverage and positivity. Screening coverage does not seem to predict what positivity levels are. We also looked at scatter plots just to double check that we didn't see any nonlinear trends, and as you can see, there's really nothing going on here. Doing the same thing, I've summarized it into a table here, but looking at screening coverage according to all of the different factors we looked at, really what we saw was that screening coverage was not associated with anything. There was minorly associated with the percentage of the population that was white, but it was a very small correlation. Looking at positivity, we did see positivity was associated with a few of the factors we looked at. It was associated with the percentage of patients tested who reported behavioral risk factors. It was associated with the percentage that were in for routine visits. And it was associated with the percentage of tests that were retesting. So similar to what we see when we look at individual risk factors. But interestingly, some of the strong individual predictors of positivity were not significant at the aggregate level. So in conclusion, in summary, screening coverage was mildly associated with race, but it was not associated with self-collected specimens. It was not associated with the distribution of visit types. It was not associated with behavioral risk factors, and it was not associated with screening versus diagnostic testing or retesting. Positivity was higher where there was more testing based on behavioral risks, where there was more testing at non-routine visits, and where there was more retesting, but it was not associated with screening coverage, age, racial mix, or screening versus diagnostic testing. So positivity and screening coverage are used as important summary descriptors of what's going on at clinics, at agencies, at states, and even nationally. And positivity estimates, as far as we could tell from this study, do not appear to be affected by, at least by crude screening coverage. We did find that positivity is reflective of risk behaviors among those tested, and it seems to be reflective of some, but not all agency practices. So it does seem to be associated with routine, non-routine visits and retesting. We also did not find any consistent patterns associated with low screening coverage. But as we stated in the beginning, screening coverage is really a one-dimensional measure. It's just a number. So there may be many factors and combinations of the factors we looked at that could be contributing to low screening coverage. In terms of limitations, this study could not examine the extent to which the characteristics we looked at were different among those tested versus those who actually came into the clinic, because this was a test-based based data set. And also, we were able to look at common trends across clinics, but we really couldn't look at within individual clinics how these factors varied. And so it may still be the case that there were differences in individual provider practices within a clinic, or that some clinics have low coverage due to maybe the insurance issue that David pointed out, and other clinics have low coverage due to what percentage of routine exams they're doing or what percentage of young women they're seeing. So there could still be things going on there, but this really showed that at a regional level, we didn't see any particular trends that were associated with low screening coverage. I do lastly just want to point out that we still think it's really important for individual agencies to be aware of their positivity and screening coverage and to have an understanding of how those two measures interact with each other. So we've created a tool for agencies to examine their own screening coverage and positivity, and it's a practical guide for program and quality improvement purposes, and includes some really nice explanations and examples, as well as some interactive tools to map out these things graphically. And so we have a webinar where we're launching the tool on July 15th. If you go to our website, cardiaservices.org, you can see it, and we'd love for you to join us. So, thank you. Any questions?
I don't know. Oh, okay, great. Actually, this is I have two questions for both David and for Sarah. Thank you. I have a case of data envy because I think Ringia 9 has been known for having this wonderful capacity for collecting both behavioral and sort of insurance characteristics on their lab form. Very, very challenging to convince labs to do. So my first question was, I'm intrigued by David's finding that the IPP funding for these Title X clinics appears to have been a safety net, I think, in terms of showing the association between the percent uninsured and screening coverage. And I think that's very encouraging rationale, I think, for what we're trying to do with ACA to extend access to chlamydia screening as part of essential benefits. So my question is, what was the distribution of percent uninsured in Title X clinics, and what exactly was that that screening coverage? You mentioned that there was an association in the HEDIS data on that national level. We've seen that Medicaid screening coverage has always been about 10% at least above what we see in private. So I'm curious about those differences that you found in the Title X data. And then the question for Sarah is that what was the percent positive that you found stratified by, say, uninsured versus private sources, just to see if there really was a difference. Thanks.
Thanks, Joan. David, I would love to let you answer your own question if you want to come back up here for a second. But in terms of insurance status, so one of the challenges, David and I have been trying to bridge the gap between IPP and CVR data to try to get at a more comprehensive picture, because as we said, screening coverage and positivity are two really important indicators that play together, and it's really hard to interpret one without the other. That said, we have a very imperfect system for doing that. So the Infertility Prevention Project data that I looked at doesn't have great data on insurance coverage. So unfortunately, Joan, I really wasn't able to look at that measure because IPP is a payer source for those tests, and so they didn't collect great data on what insurance status the women had. So I wish we had it. It's a great question.